My desire tonight is that you would look past the trembling and listen to the Word of God. As the Lord has been dealing with me about this tonight, it's almost different than it's ever been before. He said, Dan, be real careful about your thoughts. Give the Word of God. I want to do that tonight. I'd like for us to start in Psalms 90 and 9. I desire your prayers. We are each one headed for eternity. And the memorial service before this service was a stark reminder to us all. It's coming to us all. The ninth verse of the 90th chapter of Psalms says, all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Kind of like in a biography. The chapters that are given of a person's life, we spend our years like a story that is told. And a whole lot of the stories that we read, you flip the last page over and it says, the end. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Goes in the next verse, the 10th verse. The days of our years are 70. And then it makes another little mention. Possibly it could be 80. 70, 70 years. And it made me think, Dan, how many you have left? About 11 left for me. Any of you here over 70? It would do us well to think, I'm living on borrowed time. 70 was the average. It would do us well to spend time thinking about eternity. I'd like for us to go to, and I see why the Lord is dealing like he is, because you know, when you stand before the Lord, it won't be what I had to say about it. The Word of God will be the only thing there. That's why I want to be careful to give that to you. In Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter, and in the first verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This week I have seen through this meeting many young people coming to the altar, want to get everything right. I am so glad for that, because this scripture says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Get it started out right. Because these next few verses tell us about the aging process that will come to everyone if we live long enough. And then in the 5th verse, the last part of that verse, it says, man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Long home. How long? We cannot comprehend how long. Eternity. I looked up a definition today of eternity. And on this definition, I think they were very careful to not even use the word time. Instead, they used the word duration. Eternity. A duration without beginning and without ending. Eternity. And we only see that word one time in the scriptures. And that one scripture, Isaiah 57 and 15, tells us who dwells in eternity now. Thus saith the high and lofty one, which inhabiteth eternity. There was not a beginning. There was not an ending. I cannot comprehend a beginning, no beginning. It's real hard for me to comprehend no ending. And yet tonight, I'm headed there. Science has versions to tell us about when time began. I read an article even today where they now you don't even see a hint about God could have created it. It's as if the Big Bang is no longer a theory. It's a fact. And this one that I read said it's been 14 billion years since the Big Bang happened. Almost like if you have a hard time believing in the Big Bang, we'll add a few more billion years to it, and that ought to make you believe it. You know, folks, we just need to have a calm faith in God. Add on 20 more billion if you want to. I know where it came from, and I would like for us to take a look at that for just a little bit. Young people, the pressure is going to be applied. We think it's been applied in the past. I think it's going to be applied much more in the future to destroy your faith in God. And yet, with all the money that's being spent to try to prove these theories, down at Mardell's for about $2 or $3, you can get the answer for it. Just pick you up a Bible and look on Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, just a calm assurance. We need it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's all I need to know. And then it goes on down in Genesis 1. He said, let there be light. Just spoke it into existence. You know, when he spoke it, he didn't create the sun right then. He created the sun on the fourth day. He spoke light into existence, the one that we're serving today, and the one that we're going to stand before just before I spend eternity. In the 14th verse, where did time begin? You know, I kind of think it was way on back there. But here's where it began. In the 14th verse, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And then the God of heaven spoke into existence the sun that has continued to give light all this time since then. Okay, so now I can see when time began. When will time end? I'd like to share with you the Word of God. Revelations, in the 10th chapter, John got a picture. And I think it'd be a good picture for us to all keep in our mind. 10th chapter in the 5th verse. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, the earth and the things that therein are, the sea and the things which are therein. He made a proclamation that there should be time no longer, that it comes to an end. I'd like to give you another piece of the Word of God. In 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, and the 10th and 11th verse. The day of the Lord, you remember in the first part of this chapter, it's talking about in the last days there's going to be scoffers saying, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued just like they were. It kind of goes on and tells us, don't worry about all that. The day of the Lord will come, 10th verse, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We have a song number 409 in our book. There's a verse that kind of this songwriter got a glimpse of what John also got. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he steps to his great judgment seat. The God that created all things now will judge it. And I thought of the crashing of ages when time, the thing that I think has always gone on, when it comes to an end, the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. Most of us here have heard all our life that the end is coming. Almost to the point that we can kind of think like they did in 2 Peter 3. Where's the sign of it? I remember them when I was a little child telling me the end is very near. While I'm thinking that, and I'm waiting for the end of all things, tonight we saw that Brother James Husky steps out into eternity, and we're right behind him. Just give it a little bit of time, and we will all be in eternity. And then I'll be judged by the Word of God. Not even my interpretation of the Word of God. I need to put the Word of God into my heart today and let it judge me today. I'd like to give another verse. In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and the 2nd verse. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. The service of tonight for Brother James and tomorrow is a time for us to reflect. That's the end of all men. And it'll be really good for me to lay it to my heart. My time is coming. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us that each one of us have an appointment. Cannot be avoided. Medical technology today can do things that I never could have thought had been done. Had a coworker a few days ago. Found out he's got heart trouble and he had an emergency surgery for quadruple bypass. As far as I know, that's all of them. And they were able to take a blood vessel, cut it apart and stitch it back together where it'll hold pressure. That's amazing to me. But it won't stop this appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die. I have that appointment waiting for me. You also have it waiting for you. In James, because of that knowledge, it needs to change how I live my life. It needs to, if I'm under 70, but I'm getting close to it, it would be good for me to start thinking, Dan, possibly you have 11 years or maybe not even that. You want to make sure you don't leave any stone unturned. Don't expect, well, I've got plenty of time to take care of it. I know I need to take care of it. You remember the place where it said the man beheld himself in the glass and he went away and he forgot what manner of man he was. I can't afford for that to happen to me. So in James, the 4th chapter, and in the 13th verse, it says, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city. Have you ever done it? We'll continue there a year. We'll buy and sell and get gain. I think we all do it. I plan to go back to work again in a couple days. And there's reasons for work. I've got plans even right now for Monarch. I already signed up. I want to take it off. And yet this says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city. will continue there a year, buy, sell, and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. It's gone. And not gone for a few days, it's gone forever. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. Realizing every day, you know what? This will be my day to leave out of here if the Lord wills it. In all of my planning, and he expects us to make plans for tomorrow, but he expects us each one with that to realize, I've got an appointment. I don't know when it is, but it is guaranteed that it's coming to me. There is a plaque that I've read before. It says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. As I thought about that today, that saying is only partially true. It is the only thing that will have a lasting benefit for my soul. But should I choose not to do it for Christ, that's going to last also. And I've got some verses I'd like to give you. In Ecclesiastes again, right at the end of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, the 13th and the 14th verse of the 12th chapter, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. It's lost in our world today all around us, and the pressure is on us. How can you still believe with all the science that we have to tell you different? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. The plaque that says only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. This says God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'd like to look at another verse. Back in Revelations again, in the 20th chapter, a picture was given. 20th chapter of Revelation, the 11th verse. We're living in a time where unbelief is great in our world around us. It's almost as if, how can you believe that there is a God? We need to believe this. I saw a great white throne. It's coming for you and for me. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The scripture tells me that every knee will bow. It's going to happen. It'll happen here for sure. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That means it's going to get us all. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. There was a song that was sung here this meeting that says, there was a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. Ecclesiastes says it's going to come out. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, I can choose in this life not to deal with it, but I will deal with it. I will face it one day. It says there is a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. There were some things hidden there I didn't want anyone to know. But he, Christ, handed me the key. Were you there? He handed you the key with tears of love on his face. He said, I want to make you clean. Let me come into that secret place. Then it says, but when I think about that room now, I'm not ashamed anymore. Because I know my hidden sins no longer hides behind that door. There's a song we hear sometimes now. It says that Christ says, what kind of sins are you talking about? I've already forgiven those that you brought to me. I want to say tonight, thank God for salvation. A plan that will prepare us for that day. To be able to stand before God justified. In Hebrews 10 and 17, it gives us a promise if we have come to Him and we've repented of our sins. The God of heaven, it says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, as if they have never happened. But there are many people today that say that's a blanket for me to live the rest of my life in sin because God covers it all. God covers those that I repented, I confessed, and I forsook. And He says I won't remember them anymore. There's another verse in 1 Timothy 5 and 24. And I know that some of these verses will have more than one meaning, but I would like to use this one this way. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. It is possible for you and I today to send our sins on ahead. They have been forgotten and washed in the blood of the Lamb. But that verse finishes up. Some men's sins will follow after. I don't want to stand before the great God of heaven in what we saw here in Revelation 20, when the books are going to be open and my works will then be judged and have my sins to follow along after me. I'd like to go to another verse because you know there's some people that say, if I could just have a little bit of time, just a few minutes before I die, I'll straighten out everything with God and then go out to meet Him. Matthew 24 and 42. 42nd verse. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. For each of us, we don't have an idea. You know, there have been people in the past that have predicted that the end of all things will come on a certain day. Jesus said Himself, nobody knows it. He said, I don't even know it. The Father only is the one that knows when that day will be. They also know when my day will be. This goes on to say, if the goodman in the 43rd verse, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We read in the very next chapter, Matthew 25, it starts with, the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Every one of this verse that we're reading in 24 said, if the goodman of the house had a known, he would have watched. All 10 of them knew the bridegroom's coming, but time passed. And it can be an enemy to all of us. I can be on guard and watching today. But I got to be on guard every day. There's a song I'd like to look at, number 302. My soul, be on thy guard. Because none of those 10 virgins said, I tell you what, I give it up. I don't plan to be a part of this wedding celebration. But there's a verse of a song that says, will this be your lamentation. Through neglect, I had no plan to be lost in the end. Through neglect, I'm lost at last. Just some things that I knew I needed to do, and I planned to do them sometime, but I didn't get them done, and my time was called. In song number 302, it says, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies." What's the purpose? So that when the call comes for me, I will not be ready. And it says, "Don't think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown." None of us can relax until we draw that last breath and are with him forever. It says, "Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode." There are some warnings to us in the Bible, the Word of God. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Whenever I search my life and I say, "I tell you what, I'm saved today. I'm ready to go." Be real careful, because I'm not home yet. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And then another one in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Because if you would think anybody ought to make it, the minister ought to be able to. This one says, "I keep under my body," 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, "I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway." There is a song that I would like for us to sing. It's song number 392. The question that is asked with that song, where are you? There's a danger for me. There are distractions that can be for the Christian. And that would be for me to take this song and wonder, where are you? Peter did that. When Jesus came to him and said, "Follow me," he intended to follow him. But what he said was, he turned around and looked at John and said, "But what is this man going to do?" We're in perilous times right now. And I need to take my focus off of everyone else, because you won't be there when I stand before him. What you have done won't affect me at all. It will be, what have I done with the Word of God? Number 392. He gives to four classes of people. "O sinner, where art thou? Thy soul designed for light." You remember the verse that says, "I would that you were cold or hot." You know what? The sinner's in a pretty good position, because the Lord can deal with him. He knows, unless I make a change, I'll be lost forever. "Sinner, where art thou, thy soul designed for light? It's like the raging ocean or storms of sullen night." Then it goes on to the next class. "Neglecter, where art thou? Oh, do not be too late. This call may leave you hopeless. Tomorrow, seal your fate." We're each one headed for eternity. Then backslider, where art thou? Since thou hast gone astray, no peace attends thy spirit. Thou art weary all the day. But then he finishes out to the one that's been faithful all along. Here's the promise. "O Christian, where art thou? Thy happy soul is blessed while waiting by the river for thy eternal rest." I'd like for us to sing that song, but before we do, there's another song, number 383. This song says, drifting. Be a dangerous thing to have when my time is called up to stand before the great God of heaven. Drifting away from Jesus, far from his gentle fold, wrecked on the waves of sorrow, out in the night so cold. Drifting away from Jesus, day after day I glide, with no thought that this day could be the one that I'm called out to stand before God. Swiftly the billows bear me over the surging tide. Drifting away from Jesus, helpless and tossed with care, soon I shall land forever, somewhere I know not where. These two songs, along with the song that says, I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to the great judgment seat, and I thought of the crashing of ages as time and eternity meet. That songwriter experienced some things from God. D.O. Teasley. Folks, none of us have a guarantee that we'll make it unless we stay low before God and say, I need thee every hour. How could it have been that a man could write these songs, could get a vision of eternity, and something turn him around to where he was lost at the end? But it doesn't have to be that way. For all of us, it doesn't have to be that way. With all the things that Apostle Paul had come against him in his life, he closed it out and he knew he was fitting to die now. He closed it out with this, 2 Timothy 4 and 6 through 8. Did he say, Lord, I tell you what, I've lived for you and you've let me down? No. He said, I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Was he boasting? No. It was by the grace of God that he had made it to the end. I fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept my faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. And it's not for me only, but for everyone that loves his appearing. Today, we have seen maybe one of the closest times for the Lord to be able to funeral. Let's us remember, my time is coming. How soon will it be? Have I taken care of everything? Should it be tonight? Every one of us could, at the time we breathe our last breath, say, I fought a good fight. There's a crown laid up for me. Salvation has that for us. But my soul be on thy guard. We have an enemy. We've got an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He knows his time is short, and he's out for us each one. Tonight, as we sing that song, Where Art Thou? I think sometimes we give the altar a stigma. If I go down there, everyone will wonder, wonder what sin he did today. I want to tell you, when I stand before the great God of heaven and the books are open, I will not be thinking that then. Folks, I want to tell you, out in the future, I think we're living in critical times. I'm going to have to humble myself before God, whatever it takes, I'll humble myself. I'll go to the altar. I don't care what anybody thinks of me if I need it. If I just have the need of comfort from the Lord, I'm not ashamed to come to the altar. I need you, Lord. Folks, I think we have things out ahead of us. It's time to build today. Can't do much building in the middle of a storm. The time for is now for that to be done. I'd like for us to sing that song, please. Number 392.